stand to your feet and sing this with us. Jesus, what a wonderful child.
Wonderful, wonderful name. That's what we're celebrating here this morning. Glad to have everybody who's here with us, especially those who are online with us also today. So if you're on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, any of those platforms there, be sure to heart, like, share, follow us subscribe, do all those things that you need to do to help get the word out there. And welcome to those who are on our phone live streaming. Thank you for being there with us also. If you have access to the church website at highlandbaptistchurch.com, it's under the info tab that you can download the worship bulletins. We have these at the doors, in the windowsills, if you want to get one of those. We have the children's worship bulletins over here in the windowsill to my right. I don't see Pastor Matt. I was going to ask him a quick question here, but if he comes in, let me know. But be sure to pick up one of those. You can get those on the website also. Children's Church, Matt? Okay, that's what I wanted to make sure. Sometimes we don't do Children's Church. Sometimes we do when we have special things. But we will have Children's Church here in a little while. So if you have little ones that you brought that you want them to go to Children's Church, when we dismiss for them, they'll be over here to the right. We encourage you to go out here in the hallway and to sign your children in and then to sign them out when you pick your children up. But also under that info tab, you can download the prayer list there. These are on the table out here outside the office. Be sure to pick up one of those and be in prayer for those who are on the prayer list. If you're a guest who's here with us this morning, especially a first-time guest, or you brought a guest with you, we want to encourage you that you pick up one of the gift bags on the sides of the stage or at the doors as you leave. It's just a way we want to say thank you for being here with us this morning. It's got some things about our church in it. It's also got some gifts that we wanted to just give to you to say thank you for being here with us this morning. So looking forward to a wonderful service this morning. You'll hear more about some of our announcements, Brother Mike, if you'll come.
Good morning, all. Merry Christmas. Take your hymnals or sing from the screen, and let's all sing together Silent Night, hymn 91. You can please stand with us.
Thank you.
Well, you'll notice in your bulletins, this is the time of our service where we recognize our missionary of the week. You'll find in your bulletin Jay and Ella Janil, who are serving in North Africa, and I encourage you to take the time to read their story, as well as underneath that are our missionaries in Moldova, and I encourage you to pray for them in the prayer requests that are listed there. But we've got a couple of videos that we wanted to share with you this morning. One is about Lottie Moon herself, and what if Lottie Moon were here with us in person? What would she have to say to us? And then the second is about reaching Angola for Christ. And so prayerfully watch both of these videos.
If Lottie Moon showed up to church here on Sunday.
That's a great question.
Wow. That's a great question.
I love the fact that I think Lottie would feel comfortable coming in to a variety of people in our congregation.
I hope that she would be excited to see what her tiny little church has grown into.
I think that she would be excited to see a thriving local body of Christ. The Cartersville First Baptist of her day would have loved to see the Cartersville First Baptist of today. I think she'd love to see and hear about those that are called out to ministry through this body that have followed in her footsteps.
I think she would be the most pleased with the fact that that same spirit that God had placed on her going to win lost people, there's still people here that God's speaking to. I think if she heard those stories, she would smile and say, yep, God's still up to being God. So I think she would rejoice with that.
But I also think that she would want to shake us up a little bit and wake us up and make sure that we are continuing to work in the ways that God has asked us to work to spread the gospel.
And I think Lottie would look at us in the eye and say, hey, what we're doing, what you're doing is great, but how much more could there be?
All right, what more can we do? She would be the one instigating and provoking and saying, okay, when are we going? How can we do more?
There's a reason the unreached are unreached, and it's not always because they're resistant to the gospel or unresponsive to the gospel. Sometimes it's an issue of accessibility. They haven't had a chance to hear. They haven't had a chance to respond. And when you stand face to face with a truly unreached person and you share the gospel with them and they immediately respond and they believe the message and they accept Christ, you realize it's not because they're resistant. It's because they haven't had a chance to hear the gospel. My wife, Carla, and I have been IMB missionaries serving for over 40 years. We have been most of the time in Africa, and we're in Angola now. And, you know, driving this far, this long, to the southern part of the country along the Namibian border, it was tedious, but you make the effort. You tell the story of Jesus, and they respond. We've seen four new churches started among unreached peoples. In the last few days, we've just visited four groups that are meeting, worshiping together, praying together, and that's really exciting. To work among these people as IMB missionaries, to see them come to the Lord. Who would have thought when I was in the United States that I would be in Africa among tribal peoples sharing the gospel and seeing them respond? We are so grateful. It's a privilege and an honor to serve the Lord here and to know that we have not just the financial support, but the prayer support of Southern Baptists in the United States.
And that is why we emphasize our Lottie Moon Christmas offering. It goes to support those missionaries on the international mission field to keep them there so they don't have to continue to come back every year uprooting their families and uprooting the ministry that they continue to do there. So that's what this offering is about. I encourage you to pray about giving towards our Lottie Moon Christmas offering as we continue to seek to reach our goal. You can see more angels are on the tree over here, an angel for every 500, and our goal is 8,000. So we want to cover this tree with angels. So prayerfully pray about giving. Let's go to the Lord in prayer then for our missions. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you so much for the blessing of who you are. And Lord, that you have blessed us with salvation. You have blessed us with many blessings to be a blessing to the peoples of this world, whether that's locally or nationally or internationally. Father, we pray that you would be with all of our missionaries. Be with Jay and Ella Janil, who are serving in North Africa. Be with the missionaries we just saw that are serving in Angola. Lord, I pray that our hearts would be stirred, as Lottie Moon would probably challenge us to that we're doing, the things we're doing are good, but what more could we do? And so, Father, I pray that we would seek in our hearts, what more could I do? Maybe it's making a commitment to go and to serve alongside missionaries. Maybe we're reaching our retirement years, that we could do that on a short term for a couple of years. Father, whatever you may be stirring in our hearts, I pray that you would lead us to go, to give, as well as to continue praying for those missionaries. So lay that burden upon our hearts, Lord, to continue that wonderful ministry. Father, we just pray that you would bless us as we come to worship you this morning. Lord, whatever cares or distractions we may have with us this morning, help us to lay those at the foot of the cross. Lord, to receive the peace that passes all understanding through the relationship that we need with Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray for those who may not have that relationship this morning, Lord, that they would hear the gospel message in the songs we sing, in the word that is preached, and may you be glorified and honored. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Let me just remind you, too, there are still cards that are out here in the Lottie Moon post office. You can drop off your card still and then put your money in the box over to the side there that you would normally send for postage. But please be sure before you leave today to check the box out here to make sure. You may not think that you have any, but be sure to stop and check that. We would like also, if you're maybe going to see one of our shut-ins this week, to also check out there and see if maybe they have some. Maybe someone you're going to see at the nursing home, maybe someone who's shut in at home. Be sure to check out there and pick up theirs also, and while you're there at their house, to drop those by for them. We do want to invite everybody who's here this morning to our Christmas program tonight at 6 o'clock. It's going to be a wonderful blessing. Our choir has been working for several months on this. Our children's choir has been working on this through our WANA program. You're going to receive a wonderful blessing. So I encourage you to come 6 o'clock tonight. We're going to receive a wonderful blessing from that. If you want to bring some cookies and things like that, or if you want to help us to prep things in the fellowship hall beforehand, please be here then about 5:30. The kids will be back in the fellowship hall meeting. Don't forget that, kids. If you're singing, you'll be practicing back there at 5:30. The adults will be in here at 5 o'clock. But if you want to help serve hot chocolate, help us to get that ready. Some people have already dropped cookies and things off. If you want to bring some this afternoon, that would be great also. And then don't forget, Tuesday evening is our drop-in Lord's Supper service. I want to encourage you to come to that. That's from 5 to 7 o'clock. And the last thing that I want to mention is we have some little cards that we want to give to you. It says on one side, "Be still and know that I am God." On the other side, it has a 2025 calendar. So as you leave this morning, the ushers will be at the doors with these. Be sure to pick up one of these. It does have a little QR code up on the right-hand corner there. You can scan that with your phone. You can leave a prayer request there. It opens to a prayer request site that we have on our website, and you can leave a prayer request there. You could use these also, so if you want to take more than one, feel free to do that and share with your friends as an outreach also to encourage them, as we've been praying for people all this year, and using that question to ask people, how can I pray for you? They can scan this code and list some things about what we could pray for them. So, Brother Mike, if you'll cover.
Well, let's praise the Lord again. It's a short song, but it's a beautiful music and beautiful words. So join us as we sing hymn 102, "The Birthday of the King."
Yeah.
Privilege Church, like was mentioned earlier, we'll be gathering over on the piano side during this next song. And if you would, stand and join the choir as we sing hymn 87, if I can find it. 87, Joy to the World, the Lord has come.
Take your Bibles this morning and turn to Luke's Gospel. Luke chapter 2. And we're just going to begin with verse 8. We're reading actually verse 8 through verse 12, but we'll just begin with verse 8. I've entitled this message this morning, Joy to the World. At Christmas time, we ought to have joy in our hearts, but as we're going to see, there are times, and for some, who Christmas can be a stressful time. And so as we look at this passage this morning, as you hear the Word of God, I pray that it will touch your heart and God would use it to bring joy into your life. So let's stand as we read God's Word in honor of His Word. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much for the blessings that you've given to us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for salvation. Thank you that Jesus was born into that lowly manger, living a perfect, sinless life, dying on a cross that we deserve to die on. Lord, being buried in a tomb, and then on the third day, arising from the grave. Lord, I pray that message would be the message we would declare to the people around us, especially here at Christmas. And Father, I pray that it would be the message that you would speak into the hearts of those who may not know Christ this morning, that they would come to faith in Him. Lord, use this message to encourage us who are believers to know, God, that you made a way where there seemed to be no way. You have given us the greatest gift, not just for us to keep for ourselves, but to give to others. So bless your word this morning in a special way. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. You know, the Christmas holidays are some of the most joyful times of the year. I love Christmas. It's one of my favorite holidays all year long. We put up Christmas trees. We love cooking, baking things, making cookies, making candies, all kinds of things, playing reindeer games. If you haven't seen those, look back at our Facebook and you can see those. It's a time of year that brings joy as we celebrate. We celebrate not Santa Claus, not winter itself or snowmen or those kinds of things. We celebrate Jesus Christ and his birth, the birth of a Savior. And then we're ushered into a new year. In 1719, Isaac Watts wrote this hymn that came to be entitled Joy to the World that we sang a while ago here. But the interesting thing about that song is this, that only one stanza is related to Christmas and the birth of Jesus Christ. There's no mention of Mary and Joseph. There's no mention of the shepherds. There's no mention of the angels. There's no mention of a manger. There's no mention of the wise men. And yet, it is one of our most beloved Christmas carols because it really captures the essence of Christmas, which is joy. In fact, Isaac Watts, when he wrote it, he's writing it about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And what a day that's going to be. Joy to the world when Jesus comes again. It's going to be joy for those who are Christians, but it's not going to be joyful for those who don't know Christ. And so when we think about Christmas, we do have to be honest about Christmas and face it, because Christmas is a stressful time for a lot of adults. For some, It's a time of intense loneliness. For others, it's a time of crushing grief because of a loved one who is gone, who's no longer here with them. And so for many, there are many who for them, it's a blue Christmas. Even at its best, Christmas means parties and to plan and gifts to buy. And we had shorter days to do that this year, a shorter amount of days between Thanksgiving and Christmas. And we think about the elaborate meals to cook and the long trips to take and the out-of-town guests that come for us to host. And sometimes that gets to be too much and too hectic. And instead of bringing joy, Christmas can bring frustration. I heard a story about a woman who was doing her last-minute Christmas shopping at this crowded mall. She was tired of fighting the crowds. She was tired of standing in the lines. She was tired of fighting her way down those long aisles looking for a gift that had been sold out for days before. Her arms were full of all kinds of bulky packages. When the elevator door opened, it was full. The occupants of the elevator, they grudgingly moved to the side and tightened up to make some room for her with her load. And as the doors closed, she blurted out and said, "Whoever's responsible for this whole Christmas thing ought to be arrested, strung up, and shot." A few others nodded their heads and grunted in agreement. And then from somewhere in the back of the elevator came a single voice that said, "Don't worry, they already crucified it." We need to remember who's responsible for this whole Christmas thing. It's all about how John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." Unfortunately, many people leave Christ out of Christmas. Pretty much, instead of looking to Jesus, people look for joy anywhere and everywhere else instead of to Jesus Christ. Pretty much everybody wants happiness. In fact, people do what they do for the purpose of finding happiness. People work hard to buy possessions that make them happy. They look for happiness in entertainment and hobbies and sports and passion, in various addictions. And they look deep within, thinking that maybe that's where that elusive happiness is hiding. When you consider that happiness seems to be the main goal of so many people, it seems surprising that the Bible doesn't talk a lot about happiness like we talk about it in secular society. The Bible talks a lot about something that is often confused with the world's happiness. The Bible says a lot about joy. The kind of joy that the Bible talks about goes much deeper than happiness, because think about happiness. Happiness is an emotion, and our emotions are sometimes up, and our emotions are sometimes down. And happiness comes, and happiness flies away at times. But joy ought to be constant in our hearts and our lives as believers. And so the kind of joy that the Bible talks about goes much deeper than just happiness. You see, happiness deals with what is happening. Happiness depends on your circumstances. When you look at joy, genuine joy, on the other hand, doesn't depend on what is happening. Joy is an inner sense of well-being that has nothing to do with what the circumstances are that you're going through even this morning. So the kind of joy that the Bible describes, it can't be found in possessions, it can't be found in entertainment, or even looking deep within your inner self. The first line of joy to the world sums it up. There's one reason, and only one reason, that we can find joy in this world, and it's as the song says, we can have joy because the Lord has come. So let me let you know this morning. If you receive Jesus Christ as your King and your Lord of your life, He gives you joy, an unspeakable joy. In the same way, think about it, that your body craves food, it craves exercise and rest, so your spirit craves a relationship with God. Because without that relationship, your soul is starved and restless. And for many people, there's this God-shaped hole in your life because you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you look deep within yourself, you won't find happiness. But we find that space that only God can fill in our hearts and lives. So if we try to fill it with anything else besides God, you'll be forever unsatisfied. And that's why Isaac Watts was right, though, when he titled his carol, Joy to the World. Because understand this about Christmas. So often we think of Christmas in our Western American terms and thought. Christmas isn't joy to America. It's not a national joy. It's not joy to the Caucasians. It's not a racial joy. It's not joy to the Western culture. It's not a cultural joy. It's not joy to the rich. It's not a financial joy. It's not joy to the educated. It's not an intellectual joy that we experience in Christ. It's not joy to the happy, because it's not an emotional joy. It's not joy to the healthy, because it doesn't matter if you're healthy or you're sick or you have some terminal disease, you can still have joy in the presence of Christ. It's joy to the world. It's a universal joy, because even the angel in Luke 2 and verse 10 said this. In verse 10, the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." Now, that word for good news there is the Greek word that gives us our English word evangelism. It's euangelion. It gives us our English word evangelism. And evangelism simply means this. It means to bring good news. So everyone who is here this morning, every person who's watching online, if you know Christ as your Lord and your Savior, in that sense, you are an evangelist. You are to be sharing the good news with people around you. You have opportunities like never before at this time of year to share with others why we celebrate this season. There are a lot of people who celebrate Christmas and they don't even know why they're really celebrating it. They celebrate it because, oh, we just put up a tree, or we sing songs. We don't know why we're doing this. The good news is in verse 11 that says this, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." You know, there's something unique in verse 11 that you don't want to miss. This is the first place in all of the Bible where you find the three words Savior, Christ, and Lord together, all in one verse. Those words, along with the word in verse 12 that says, "And this will be a sign for you, you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger." those three words plus that word baby reveal to us why Christmas truly is a time of joy to the world. I want you to see three things from this passage this morning that we can have joy in at Christmas. First, there's joy in the birth of a son. There's joy in the birth of a son. Look at verse 8 again, down through verse 10. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." Verse 12, "And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." Now, by and large, births don't get a lot of attention in the world. Births are a common everyday thing. Most people are more concerned about things like the stock market, concerned about their taxes. They're more concerned about sickness and war and the economy than they are about babies being born. But maybe every year we should give more thought to just who is being born. As we think about Jesus being born here and the significance of him being born, we ought to give thought to babies that are born in a year. Think about this. In 1809, the world was focused on a man by the name of Napoleon, because Napoleon looked like the first person since Alexander the Great who just might conquer the entire world. Very few people were thinking about babies that year. But maybe they should have, because in 1809, William Gladstone was born, who was destined to become one of the greatest prime ministers that England ever produced. In 1809, Lord Alfred Tennyson was born, who would one day greatly affect the literary world in an unbelievable way. In 1809, Oliver Wendell Holmes was born, and not far away from him, Edgar Allan Poe was born, two of the greatest novelists in history. In 1809, Charles Darwin was born, a man who would grow to live in infamy. In 1809, in a rugged log cabin in Hardin County, Kentucky, Abraham Lincoln was born. The history of the two greatest nations in the world at that time, England and America, were shaped by tiny cradles, by who was born that year. 2,000 years ago, one little baby boy was born who would shape the destiny of the entire world. That's what verse 12 is telling us there. So, what's wrong with this picture? Remember, this wasn't the birth of an ordinary son. This was the birth of the Son of God. And yet, notice what the shepherds were told to look for. The shepherds weren't told to go look for a king on a throne. They weren't told to look for an angel on a cloud. They were told to go and to look for a baby in a manger. They weren't to go to a palace or to a mansion, but to a stable. Think about that. Was the baby Jesus surrounded by servants? No, he would be surrounded by sheep. Would he be lying in a beautiful bed? I mean, he is the king of the world. No, he would be lying in an animal's feeding trough. That's what a manger is. Would he be living in the palace of a king? No, he would be born in the stable of a cow. Would he be wrapped in some kind of velvet comforter? No, he would be wrapped in swaddling cloths, common, ordinary rags. Most amazingly, he was a real baby. This wasn't just a show. Jesus wasn't faking it. He watched his hand in amazement, like all little babies do when they open their hand and they close their hand, just like other babies did. He didn't understand words, just like other babies. He needed to be changed. Think about that. Just like other babies, he needed to be fed. Just like other babies, he needed to be washed. Just like other babies, he needed to be cared for. Think about this. Let this sink into your heart. God in the flesh had to learn how to talk. He had to learn how to walk. He had to learn to feed himself. Where any ordinary passerby would have seen just another baby, what his mother Mary saw was God. One poet wrote and said this: "They all were looking for a king to slay their foes and lift them high. Thou camest a little baby thing that made a woman cry." Another poet wrote this and said, "A baby's hands in Bethlehem were small and softly curled, but held within their dimpled grasp the hope of all the world." See, there's a reason why Jesus came in human flesh. There's a reason why he came as the heavenly son of an earthly mother. He came to be one of us, so that we might know that not only can he raise us up to his level, but he could come down on ours. You ever thought about this? I've shared this illustration before. Some of you know this to be true, that if you have two pianos that are in tune in the same room and a note is struck on one, that same note will gently respond on the other, even though it's not being touched by another person's hand. In music, they call that sympathetic resonance. Think about that. You're over here, they're both in tune. You touch a note over here, and it resonates with the piano over here that nobody's hands are on. Think about this. When Jesus came in his humanity, he was like us in every way except that he had no sin. When a chord is struck in the weakness of our hearts, it resonates in his heart. Someone once said that there is no note of grief or sorrow or heartache or pain or suffering that can be struck on the instrument of our life that does not resound in his life as well. He wanted you to know that in every manner that you are tempted, in every struggle, he faced those difficulties also. That's why there's joy in the world, because God has come as one of us. He came to be like us so that he might change us to be like him. And we need to tell that good news from the mountaintops. There's the joy of the birth of a son. Secondly, I want you to see this. There is joy in the blessing of a Savior. You see this in the beginning of verse 11. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." And the angel had said to the shepherds in verse 10 that they were not to be afraid. But why was that news so good? Well, the angel explains there in the beginning of verse 11, because a Savior has been born. Now think about this. In the Old Testament, that word Savior describes a deliverer from one's enemies. Interestingly, in the Old Testament, the Messiah is never called Savior. That word always refers to God, who delivers his people from defeat, from disease, from death. In fact, the Word of God makes it plain that the title Savior belongs to God and to God alone. So what we begin to realize is that Jesus was not just a mere man. He was God in the flesh. God himself said in Isaiah 43 and verse 11, he said, I am the Lord, and besides me, there is no Savior. He says again in Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 26, then all flesh shall know that I am the Lord, your Savior and your Redeemer. So understand this, you'll never understand the meaning of Christmas nor the real joy of Christmas until you get it into your heart that Christmas is the coming of a Savior. That title Savior, the noun salvation, the verb to save, are found in every book of the New Testament. The origin of those words is the Greek word sozo. In the Latin, it was the word salvare, which means to make safe or secure. It means to deliver from the penalty and the power of sin. The Apostle John used it in this way and said in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 14, "And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world." Jesus Christ came into this world to be our Savior. In fact, before he was born, the angel of the Lord said to Mary over in Matthew's gospel, in Matthew 1 and verse 21, he said, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. Jesus is the Greek form of the Hebrew word Yeshua, or Joshua, which means Savior. So if you think about it, you'll realize that the word Savior not only tells us who he is, but also who we are. Because the only people who need a Savior are sinners. But there's one other thing that needs to be added. A Savior needed to be both human and divine. First of all, he had to be human so that he could die for our sins and be our Savior. He also had to be divine so that he wouldn't die in his own sin, or else he couldn't be our Savior. But that's exactly who Jesus was. He was both man and God. Man so that he could die for our sins, but God so that he wouldn't die in his sin. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21 says this, "For our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." We were born to live, but Jesus was born to die. Jesus' blood was guaranteed to remove from us the cancer of our sin. That's why there's joy in the birth of a son. That's why there's joy in the blessing of a Savior. And thirdly, that's why there's joy in the beauty of a sovereign. Notice the rest of verse 11. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." This little baby lying in a manger, he's not just the Savior, he's also the Lord. Now, that title, Lord, is used over 9,000 times in the Old Testament. And and over 6,000 of those times, it's used for the covenant name of God, Jehovah. That's the best news of all. Jesus, this little baby who's been wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger, born in a stable, wasn't just Christ the Messiah of the Jews, nor was he just Jesus, the Savior of the world, but he is the Lord of the universe. Now, there's some practical things we can learn from the last part of this verse in verse 11. One is, Jesus is a son, so we can relate to him because he's just like us. Jesus is a Savior, so we can respond to him, even though we're sinners, because the Bible tells us he accepts us just like we are. But Jesus is also a sovereign, and that's how we have to receive him. He is Lord over all because he wants to be the Lord of your life. The greatest joy in the world is found in Jesus alone, because Jesus is for everyone. The good news isn't some relic of the past. It's not for a certain nation or a certain creed or a certain social status. We're all invited to respond to the words of the angel. "Behold, I bring you good news of great joy." And it's a message that brings joy to the world. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrow grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. And we see in this song he is a sovereign because he rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. When you confess your sinfulness and you confess your need for Jesus and your belief in him as your Savior, when you profess him with your mouth and you trust you trust him with all your heart, then the Bible says you will be saved. There's nothing else has to be done. He did it all for you. He came so that you could have eternal life. So the question this morning is if you don't know Christ as your Lord and your Savior, will you trust in him today? If you want to be saved today, if you want to spend an eternity with him, then you can pray and you can call out to him to be saved. But if you're here this morning and you already know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you ought to be singing about him. You ought to be talking about him. You ought to be living about him. You ought to be sharing about him every opportunity you get about why we celebrate this season, why you have joy in the midst of suffering, because a little baby boy was born in a manger, and he wasn't just any little boy. He was our Savior. He is the Lord who comes to save us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, there may be those who are here this morning or those who may be watching online who don't know Christ as their Lord and their Savior. Father, I thank you for the Christmas story and what we've read here in Luke's gospel. Lord, that we realize this is not just a story, a fable, a made-up thing that we read. This is what really happened. Lord, that you made a way where there seemed to be no way, and you sent your son Jesus to be born to Mary and Joseph in a stable, to be laid in a manger, to come and to die for our sins. Father, I pray that if there are those who've realized that this morning, and they want to come to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior, Lord, I pray they would just call out to you and say, Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. I believe that Jesus was born and laid in a lowly manger. I believe he lived a sinless life, was crucified on a cruel cross, and resurrected from the grave on the third day. I surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in my life. And I ask you to come into my life and save me from my sin and help me to live for you for the rest of my life. Father, the greatest gift we could ever receive has already been given. I just pray, Lord, there would be those who would receive it, who would accept it, who would believe and trust in what Christ has done for them. But Lord, I pray for many of us who are believers that, Lord, so often we let opportunity after opportunity pass us by that we'll never get back again to share the joy of the world, Jesus Christ, with those who are lost and dying and going to hell. Lord, I pray that in these last days before Christmas, Lord, even as we maybe gather around the table at Christmas time, that we would make sure that our family members know why we're celebrating Christmas, because of the birth of Jesus Christ and what he came to do for us. Bless us, Lord, in this invitation, and may your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We're gonna stand and sing our hymn of invitation, number 294. Would you stand with us as we sing, and would you come as the Lord lays on your heart? Thank you. be seated for just a moment. Just want to wish each and every one of you a Merry Christmas. Look forward to seeing you back tonight for our Christmas program. Brother Jimmy's going to come and share our announcements. And don't forget your calendar cards.
Just a few announcements. If you would be in prayer for the Ann Noah's family, it is her passing this week. And also be in prayer for Susie Barton. She's having some issues, so we need her prayers in there to be with that family also. If we would bow our heads and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dearly Father, we just thank you for the many blessings you've given us, especially the opportunity to come in your house. We thank you, Father, for the Christmas time here that we have at the birth of your son. And then we thank you, Father, for your son, the best gift we could ever have, that he died on a cross for us so we may have eternal life. We just pray, Father, as we go this week, that we just be with the people that have lost ones or are sick or are having troubled times, that we just look to you, be our guiding light, dear Lord, and that we have the faith in you and your healing hands. We just pray, Father, that you be with us and lead and guide us, and that we take every opportunity that we have to spread the gospel with you. And please forgive us, Father, when we fall short in serving you. In Jesus' name, amen.